The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. I'd like us to read verse 72. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. I want to take the closing sentence of that verse 72. And when he thought thereon, he wept. It is very clear from Scripture that the Lord Jesus pays attention to and takes note of those tears that are shed by his children. The psalmist was aware of this, for in Psalm 56, verse 8, he penned these words, Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And so here is the Lord's book of tears. And I wonder whose names are written in the Lord's book of tears. And I have no doubt that the occasion of their tears are also recorded in that book. If we could turn the pages of the Lord's book of tears, I'm sure in that chapter called Tears of Disappointment, we would find Hannah's name there. She was so disappointed that the Lord had shut up her womb that she had no children. She often wept over that fact. Often her disappointment would bring tears to her eyes, especially when she and her husband went up to the temple to worship. She would feel her desolation and disappointment terribly at that time. And it was there that Hannah, we read, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept. 1 Samuel 1 verse 10. But those tears did not fall to the ground unnoticed by the Lord, because it says in verse 19 of the same chapter, the Lord remembered her. And of course, the Lord blessed her with a son. He had seen her tears, those tears of disappointment. And so, dear child of God, if you have wept and prayed before the Lord in your disappointment, you can be sure of this, that the Lord has seen those tears and he has recorded them in his book of tears. Now let us turn in this book to another chapter. Let us turn to the chapter where it says tears of despair. And there we find the name of Hezekiah, I have no doubt, that great and godly king of Judah. Because one day Isaiah the prophet came into the palace with a word from the Lord and said to Hezekiah, the Lord has said, thou shalt die and not live. And we are told that King Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. But he not only prayed, he wept. And the Lord saw those tears, because he said to Isaiah, I have heard his prayer and I have seen his tears. And Isaiah went back and told Hezekiah the Lord had added to his life 15 years. And it was because he not only heard his prayer, he had also seen his tears. And there was Hezekiah in his bedchamber. And no one else was there. And Isaiah was praying with his face to the wall. And as he prayed, he wet his pillow with his tears. And nobody else knew about it. There wasn't one servant in the palace of Hezekiah knew a thing about Hezekiah's tears, but Jesus knew. Christ knew. And he recorded them in his book. Recorded the date, the time, and the circumstances of Hezekiah's tears. Dearly beloved, tonight, how many times have you wept in your bedchamber? How often have you wet your pillow with your tears? And believed that no one knew and no one saw? Well, you can be sure of this. The Lord Jesus saw those tears. And they're recorded in his book. He always sees the tears of his people. But let's go a little further in God's book of tears to the chapter entitled Tears of Desperation. Many would have their names recorded in that chapter. And we would know that there is one person has his name recorded there. We are not given his name. The Lord knows his name. Because in that chapter you would find recorded the Father who came one day to the Lord Jesus and sought the Lord that the Lord would heal his son. The Bible records it as a lunatic son. He had an evil spirit. And he came, the Father came with his son, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus Christ, and he wept. And he said, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And Jesus saw those tears. And those tears are recorded in his book. The Lord saw those tears and heard that father's prayer. And cast out the evil spirit from that man's son. And once again, believer, many parents can identify with that man, with that father. How often have parents wept over their children? How many parents have cried to God to save their children? And have cried through their tears, I believe, Lord. Help thy my unbelief. In those times you've prayed, dear mother, and those times you've cried, dear father, those tears have not fallen unnoticed by the Lord. They're written in his book. We may look at another chapter in this book of God. We look at that chapter called Tears of Devotion. And there we would find it recorded that one day when the Lord Jesus was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, a woman came in. And she anointed the Lord, but she stood behind him, and she stood at his feet behind him as he was reclining on a couch. And she stood there, she suddenly began to weep. And she wept, and she wept, and she wept. She didn't say anything, she just wept. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears. And again, those tears did not go unnoticed by the Savior, because he said to the Pharisee, "She hath washed my feet with tears." And sometimes, believer, when the Lord seems to be so very near, sometimes when our hearts are overwhelmed with love for the Lord, when we hear a word perhaps that touches our heart, a word regarding the love of Christ for us, and out of our devotion to Jesus Christ and our love for Him, suddenly our eyes well up with tears. Maybe sit in a meeting. We maybe sit at home weeping. The Lord sees those tears of devotion and He records them in His book. They're there. That child of mine has wept tears of devotion, and I have them recorded in my book. But I would believe there would be another chapter in the Lord's book of tears. I believe there's a chapter called Tears of Defeat. Maybe we would all have our names recorded in that chapter. But one saint, one child of God, indeed one servant of the Lord, who shed bitter tears of defeat, and I have no doubt has his name written in God's book of tears, was one of the Lord's disciples by the name Simon Peter. And the incident that would be recorded in God's book of tears is recorded in this book. And we have it in our text tonight. Here's Peter's tears of defeat. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And oh, how he wept. And maybe, believer, we have been where Peter stood. And maybe we know what it's like to suffer defeat and to weep over our defeat. Well, when we wept because of defeat, God has recorded those tears in his book. And we are told that when Peter thought thereon, he wept. So what did he think about that caused him to weep? That's what we want to consider tonight. When he thought thereon, he wept. Didn't weep before it. When he thought thereon, he wept. First of all, I believe, and we have, of course, the authority of God's Word on this, I believe that Peter, first of all, thought about his folly. And when he thought upon his folly and his foolishness, that's when he wept. What deep thoughts Peter must have entered into that night, that very, very dark night for Peter. For the word thought, when he thought thereon, the word thought means to cast over. So for however long Peter stood there, between the cock crowing and Peter going out into the night weeping bitterly, however long he stood there, he thought over and he thought over and he thought over all that had happened. And when he thought over those things, then that he wept. It cast over in his mind the events of that night, his behavior, his footsteps, his foolishness. And when he reflected on those things, it was then that he wept. He thought about, with regard to his folly, he thought about, one, the promises he made. I have no doubt. So Peter thought about the promises he made. We know that Peter was often very forthright, yea, even rash at times regarding the things which he said. More often than not, he said those things, even though he did say them rashly. He said those things because of his love for the Lord Jesus. Sometimes his zeal was not according to wisdom. And that most certainly was the case as he walked with his Savior and the other disciples to the Mount of Olives. And he talked with the Lord, and the Lord talked with him. And as they walked together to the Mount of Olives, as they made their way down from Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley and up into the Garden of Gethsemane, they talked together and Peter made a promise. There it is in Mark 14, in verse 26. And when they had sung and hymned, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, O ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. He made a promise. He did. He made that promise that night, although all. Yes. Lord, even though all the other disciples here that are with us tonight, even though they all forsake thee, I will not forsake thee. I'll not be ashamed of thee. I'll not deny thee. I will not be offended because of thee. He made a promise that he would never be offended of his Lord. He made a promise that he would accompany his master even to death, even to death. He told the Lord that. He said, Lord, I would rather die than be offended. He made that promise. And there he stands. He has just denied his Lord 3 times. He has broken his promise. And Peter thinks, I'm sure, Peter thought, I'm sure, upon those things. And when he thought thereon, he wept. When he thought about that moment when he made that promise, and then he broke it. That's when he wept. I broke a promise I made to my Savior. Dear child of God, if we were to cast an eye back upon our life, the life we have lived as Christians, I wonder how many broken promises we would find there along the way. And if we were to think thereon, a number of times we promised the Lord, we promised Him we would do this and do that and do the other, and we promised Him again and again and again. And there they lie. Broken promises. And if we were to think thereon tonight, I believe every one of us should weep. We broke the promises we made to the Lord. And sometimes it's better not to make any promises at all. If we have no real intention of keeping them, if we believe that we cannot keep them. For in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, there we read in verse 2, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and I upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For the dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitudes of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. When thou makest a promise unto God, be sure and keep that promise." That's what Solomon is saying. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed, better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldst vow and not pay." Peter made a vow, and he didn't pay. And when he thought thereon, Peter wept. I have no doubt that he thought upon the promises he made. And I have no doubt that he thought upon the pride that he manifested that night. For you see, the Lord informed Peter and the other disciples and said, "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night," it wasn't too far away, "even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Verse 30, Mark 14. But in his foolish pride, Peter contradicted the Lord. My pride makes a man do many foolish things. And pride prompted Peter to contradict the Savior. And Peter said, "I will not deny thee in any wise. I will not." The Lord had just said to him, "Peter, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times." Peter said, "No, I won't." Contradicted the Lord. It's pride that makes a man do that. He was saying, no set of circumstances will cause me to deny the Savior. But what he said, he would never do. He just did it. He just did it. The thing he said he would never do. Why, a few hours later, he just did it. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, and when he thought thereon, he wept. You know, Peter not only contradicted the Savior himself, the word that was made flesh, but he contradicted the written word. He tried to contradict the written word. Because the Lord quoted those words to him from Zechariah and said, it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. You know, as Peter started out to contradict the Lord and to contradict the Scripture, it was almost as if Peter was determined to prove the word wrong. It was almost as if he was seeking to prove the Lord wrong. You know, believer, we tend to do the same thing. We may not be aware of it, but whenever the Lord says men ought always to pray, by our attitude, we almost set out to contradict the Lord. He says men ought always to pray. When he tells us that we're to shun every appearance of evil, my, we think that we can compromise with the world and at the same time not defile our garments. The Lord tells us we're to live separated lives because without holiness no man shall see the Lord, yet it would appear by the way we live sometimes that we're determined to disprove that truth. Oh, what folly. And what folly Peter exhibited that night. Peter, I say unto thee, you'll deny me three times. Peter said, no, I won't. Peter, the Scripture says, when the shepherd is taken, the sheep will be scattered. Peter was saying, no, that's not true. I'll not be scattered. And when he thought about his folly, then that he wept. And I'm sure for every one of us, again, as we think upon these things, there are many things in our lives we would like to change. Things we did out of folly and foolishness. And how I would love to change them. But they're done. And they can't be changed. But often when we think upon those foolish actions, like Peter, we weep. I believe that Peter also thought about his presumption. When the mob came to arrest the Savior, Peter, you recall, of all the disciples, was the one to draw the sword. But I have no doubt out of his love for the Savior, he wanted to protect the Lord. And he drew the sword and he wielded the sword and cut off the right ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. You see, Peter presumed that was the right thing to do. You recall, we looked at this matter a couple of months ago. Christ's last miracle before Calvary when he healed, and Peter drew the sword and was ready to fight with Malchus without ever consulting the Lord. He presumed that he was doing the will of God. He presumed he was doing the Lord's will. He presumed the Lord would be pleased with him. Quite the contrary. The Lord told Peter, put up thy sword. Peter, do you not know? I've only to ask my Heavenly Father, and he'll send me presently 10 legions of angels. Peter, if I needed protection, the whole host of heaven would come to my aid. And when Peter thought thereon, and thought about his folly and his foolishness, how foolish he was, he wept. So easy to do exactly what Peter did. It's so easy to presume that we know best. It's so easy to presume that we know the will of God without ever seeking it. And how many times have we presumed that we were doing the will of God only to discover later it wasn't the will of God at all? And we said in our hearts, how foolish I have been. Peter presumed he was doing the right thing. And when he saw it thereon, he wept. I believe Peter not only thought that night about his folly, I have no doubt, he also thought about his feelings. If we were all to think about the number of times we have failed the Lord, perhaps we wouldn't know when to stop weeping. I don't know how many times I've heard people give their testimony, and I always enjoy people giving their testimony. And in the course of their testimony, they would say, I have failed the Lord many times, but he has never failed me once. And I think we could all say that. I have failed the Lord many times. And if we really thought upon those failings, and the number of times we have failed him, the number of times we have failed Christ, I believe we would weep also. So where did Peter fail the Lord? Well, as he stood there casting his mind over the events of that night, Peter would have remembered how he had failed the Lord in the place of prayer. They left Jerusalem, came across the Kidron Valley, they entered into Gethsemane. The Lord left some of his disciples at the edge of the garden, but he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he went a little farther into the garden, and as he walked with them, you know, the Lord didn't very often reveal the feelings of his heart to others. He kept the feelings of his heart very much to himself. It's only those very rare occasions that the Savior opened his heart to his disciples. Indeed, to anyone. But he opened his heart to Peter, James, and John that night as he walked with them. He said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. He had said once, that he was meek and lowly of heart. He had opened his heart to his hearers. But here he opens his very soul to his hearers. He says to his disciples, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." And then he said to Peter and James and John, he said, "Tarry ye here and watch, or tarry ye here and pray." He was saying to those disciples, "I want you to pray with me. I'm entering a dark hour. I want you to pray with me. I want you to support me with your prayers." Yes, he's God, but he's also man. And as man, he needed the support of his inner circle of his disciples. And the Savior went and prayed for an hour, and came back expecting to find Peter praying, but instead Peter was sleeping. And he said, "Peter, couldst thou not watch with me one hour?" He had sealed the Lord in the place of prayer. And when he thought thereon, he wept. If we could enter into the mind of Peter, if we could just put ourselves in Peter's place, and as the Lord said to us, "Watch with me. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Watch with me. Pray with me." And if we had failed, then I believe we would weep as well, because we would think, "Well, the Lord was depending on me. Had depending on me to pray with him. And I failed him. He was depending on me to watch with him, and I failed him. Oh, I failed him in the place of prayer." How often have we failed the Lord in the place of prayer? We have failed to be present in the place of prayer. We have failed to persevere. We have failed to persist. Sometimes we have just simply failed to pray. And we ought to weep. We have let the Lord down. And when Peter thought thereon, he failed the Lord in the place and the hour of prayer. And no doubt, he thought about how he had failed the Lord in the hour of provocation. The Savior had told his disciples, as we had said, quoting Zechariah 13, verse 7, "I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Peter didn't accept that. But then the scriptures, those very words were fulfilled when they took the shepherd and all the disciples forsook him and fled. So it says, I believe Peter thought about that. And Peter, knowing, he would have known that when he was called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, he would have remembered the day when he forsook all and followed Christ. It's the same word. They all forsook him and fled. And in Luke 5, you read about Peter, that he forsook all, followed Christ. The same word is not employed. And when he forsook all to follow the Lord Jesus, he didn't want to have anything more to do with fishing. He didn't want to have anything more to do with his nets or his boats. Yes, he forsook all. Everything. And followed Christ. But now that night, here's another forsaking. This time, he's forsaking Christ himself. Now, he doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. As he once didn't want to have anything to do with fishing. Now the same word is used to describe Peter's forsaking of Christ. He didn't want to have anything whatsoever to do with him. And when he thought thereof, that's how he wept. Peter had been following the Lord afar off that night. And his following afar off led to his forsaking Christ and wanting nothing to do with him. Believer, when we think on these things, we could ask ourselves, have we forsaken him? Peter had forsaken the one who had never forsaken him. Peter had failed the one who had never failed him. Peter had fled from the one who had never fled from him. How often have we failed and forsaken the things of God when we think on those things? Surely we would weep as well. Peter considered also in his failing the Lord, he failed him in the hour for professing Christ. Peter was in a place where he witnessed the trial and heard all the false accusations they brought against the Savior. Verse 54, and Peter said nothing, not a word. He didn't stand up for his Lord. He didn't profess his Lord. He didn't profess to knowing him. He didn't say a word. And then he was challenged, verses 67 to 72. Three times he was challenged. Thou art one of them. Thou art a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied, and he denied. And then he was challenged again. Yes, your very speech betrayeth thee. And it was then when his speech was mentioned that he denied the Lord with oaths and curses. As though to put as much distance between himself and Christ as he could. He denied the Lord again and again and again. He had the opportunity to profess his Lord and profess his Savior. But he stood there, ashamed of Christ. Ashamed of ever having known him. And saying, I don't even know him. That's why I chose that hymn tonight, Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes for heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere thy name. Peter thought thereon. And that's when he wept. And many times have we had the opportunity to profess Christ publicly, and we failed. Finally, I believe Peter not only thought about his folly and about his failings, but I believe he thought about his friend. I believe he thought about Christ, his dearest friend, and how he had treated him that night. For it says, and the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. No doubt he wondered how he could ever have done such things, and said such things, against his friend, Jesus Christ. Because to Peter, Christ was his special friend. Just as the Lord is our special friend. Because the Lord chose Peter to be his friend. And he chose out of the 12 Peter to be one of the inner circle, to be one of his closest friends, his chosen friend, his closest friend. And yet Peter denied his closest friend. And believer, Christ has chosen us to be his friend. Way back in eternity he chose us. And he has told us that. He said, ye are my friends. He has told us, no greater love hath any man than this, and a man lay down his life before his friends. And he went on to say, I have called you my friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Christ had made Peter his chosen friend. Christ had made Peter his closest friend. He had taken Peter, where most of the other disciples were not permitted to go. He had told Peter things he didn't tell the other disciples. Peter was one of his closest friends. And yet Peter just denied him. And I believe Peter thought thereon. That's when he wept. How can I do this? We could say the same thing. All that we have covered tonight in Peter's folly and his failings, we can identify with Peter in most of those things. And we could say also tonight, how could I have done this to the one who chose me and made me his closest friend? Christ was also his caring friend. No one cared for Peter like Christ, no one. Because the Lord told him, he said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat, but Peter, I want you to know, I have prayed for you. His caring friend. No one has ever cared for us like Jesus. He has prayed for us. Sitting at the Father's right hand now, praying for us. How could we fail him? Christ was a special friend. Christ was a sensitive friend. And I believe this is what Peter thought about how his denials, how his folly and his failings affected Christ, because he knew the Lord was a very sensitive person. He saw the love in his eyes when he saw the multitude wandering as a sheep without a shepherd. He saw the tears in his eyes as he stood weeping over Jerusalem. He saw the tears in those eyes as he stood beside Mary weeping with her. And if Christ was so tender of heart and so sensitive, what then did Peter's denial of his friend do to him? How Christ must have felt it. That's when he wept. He knew Christ felt it. And then he thought about his silent friend. It says, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. We're told by the other evangelists that whenever the cock crew, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. He didn't say a word. Christ stood there in silence. Maybe Peter would have felt better if the Lord had said something. But he didn't say a word. And Peter knew he had offended his Lord. I remember when living at home with my parents and three brothers, those times that I disobeyed my parents, my mother and father would react to my disobedience in different ways. My father would reach immediately for the stick or a cane or something and let me know that I had disobeyed him. He would bawl me out and let me know. But with my mother, she didn't say a word. And just her look was enough to let me know I had offended her. And that hurt more than my father taking the stick to me. Peter knew that night he had offended his Lord, because Christ stood there and didn't say a word. And that's when he went out and he wept bitterly. The word wept means to cry aloud. And you can see Peter going out of that judgment hall where he stood there at the door. And everyone hears him crying. They hear that big fisherman crying. They don't know why he's crying, but Peter knows. Because Peter has thought thereon. And he's thought on his foolishness. And he's thought upon his failings. And he thought about his friend. And how he had hurt him. And he went out and wept bitterly. But that look of Christ was the look of pity and the look of love. For as we all know, when Christ rose from the dead, one of the first people to meet Christ was to meet was Peter himself. And he restored him. And we assailed the Lord, and behaved in a foolish way, and offended our dear Savior and friend. There's restoration. He'll restore us. And he'll forgive us all our sins. Because that's who he is. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and Father, we do thank Thee for the searchlight of Thy Word. And O Lord, we stand tonight even where Peter stood. We look over our folly and our failings. And we think about our friend, the one who has never left us, the one who prays for us, the one who loves us. O Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, not to behave in a foolish way again. Help us, Lord, not to be proud and presumptuous when it comes, Lord, to doing Thy will. But, O God, help us to rest on Thee, our shield and our defender. Help us, Lord, we pray, to love the Savior, to walk close by His side. Lord, may we take Thy word home with us tonight. May we think upon it, meditate upon it. And Lord, draw us nearer to Thy precious bleeding and wounded side. Lord, be with us now as we leave the house of God. May the fragrance of this place go with us. And keep Thy hand upon us, Lord, until we meet again. Here in Thy house, around the world. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.